Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. We hope you're feeling served by our New York primary Speed Dating the Candidate series. We had the four candidates in the public advocates race for 7 minutes each on Monday. The Queens Borough President candidates for about 7 minutes each yesterday. Today, we speed date the four candidates in the Democratic primary for Manhattan Borough President. And since this is an office the Republican Party doesn't even try to compete for, there is no Republican candidate on the November ballot. So the primary is the election. So we will now spend 7 minutes each with Robert Jackson, Julie Menon, Jessica Lappin, and Gail Brewer. Robert Jackson is up first. He is the city councilman on the west side from Morningside Heights and West Harlem all the way up through Washington Heights and Inwood, and he is the council's education committee chair. Mr. Jackson, welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thank you, Brian. I'm glad to be with you.
So Manhattan isn't just anywhere, as you know. It's the cultural and financial capital of the United States in many ways, at the same time as being just home for 1.5 million people. What does Manhattan mean to you?
It means my home, first of all, and it means the home of 1.7 million people, but also it is the center of our financial industry, and also many people, including myself, said Manhattan is the center of the entire world.
Why do you want to be the borough president? It's not a job with a lot of power under current law as it once was decades ago.
Well, I want to be the next borough president to be an advocate for our children. As you know, I've been an advocate for decades for the children of New York City, which I walked 150 miles and won $16 billion for our children. I want to be a fighter for our community, standing up to Mayor Bloomberg and anyone else that's going to deny the people of Manhattan the opportunity to have a good home, affordable housing, health care, immigration reform, and also ensuring that our city is the safest place in order for families to grow. And with that type of advocacy, fighting, and as you know, I've run three marathons, and I'm an energetic person, so I want to be an energetic leader for the borough of Manhattan.
The borough president gets to comment on development proposals. Do you have positions on what kind of development Manhattan should encourage or avoid?
Sure. I mean, For example, the East Side rezoning, which the New York Times and community boards have weighed in, along with our borough president, Scott Stringer. I'm in the same position, as the community boards and many other people have said, that we're trying to move forward too quickly before 12/31/13, which is the end of the mayor's term. People said, slow down. Let's look at the infrastructure changes that need to be put in place before we move forward. Let's look at what open space is going to be there, what type of landmarking needs to be done, what type of space and height of the building. These are all issues and concerns that have been raised, and the Midtown rezoning, and I totally agree with them. So that's one thing. Number two, we want to make sure that Manhattan stays affordable for everyone. Not just the wealthy in New York City, but for everyone, middle-class families. We want to make sure that they remain here in our communities, but also we want to make sure that individuals that want to start a family can raise a family in Manhattan. So, for example, up in northern Manhattan, Council District 10, which is Adonis Rodriguez, they lost 23,000 people in the last 10 years. And people say, well, where did they go? Many of them moved to the Bronx because the rents were getting too high in northern Manhattan. So we want to make sure that Manhattan is affordable for everyone and inclusive of everyone. That's extremely important overall.
Do you feel you've made your biggest contribution to the city as Education Committee Chair?
I think someone asked me a long time ago, what do you think your legacy is going to be as a member of the city council? And I responded to them, and especially knowing education, I said, duh, meaning that education, anytime someone walks 150 miles, anytime where New York One labels them and their campaign New Yorkers of the Year, and anytime you win $16 billion, I don't know what I can do that will top that. But you know one thing? I'm going to give it a very, very, very good try becoming the next Manhattan Borough President, because where I come from is from the bottom up. Is, you know, walk in the community. So even doing as a candidate, I've walked around the entire borough of Manhattan. I plan on doing that as a borough president. For example, I give right now council member on your corner, where after the budget, I have about 5 to 6 where I set up tables and constituents talk to me about issues and concerns. I want to be that type of borough president where every particular community board, I will be setting up meetings, opening up dialogue from the bottom up and not from the top down.
On education, I see you've described yourself as pro-choice on education. Does that mean pro-charter schools and even pro-vouchers for private schools for low-income families?
No, what it means is that everyone should decide what's best for their own children based on their special needs. So, for example, Brian, I never hid the fact that all of my kids went to our local school, PSIS 187 in Washington Heights. One went to Bronx Science, one went to Humanities Prep. But my wife and I made a decision to send our youngest daughter to private school. She went to the Dwight School, 89th and Central Park West, and then she went on to Juilliard. She's a dancer. So one is a doctor and one's an educator. So having the choice to determine what's best for your child is what I say overall. I'm not going to tell you that you must do this for your child. So I'm not in favor of vouchers. That's a different story. Mm-hmm. But as far as selecting a school, I'm not going to tell you what's best. You make the decision based on your special needs.
Any issues on which you disagree with some of your opponents, or is this
Absolutely.
Really about qualifications and style? Go ahead.
Oh, no. So I disagree with Julie Menon, Gail, Jessica, myself. We all agree that the 91st Street Marine Transfer Station should not be built, because I was on a Sanitation and Solid Waste Committee in which I voted for it 5 years ago. But I've now changed my position. Why? Because originally it said that it would be retrofitted and cost $40 million. It's not being retrofitted. It's being torn down totally altogether. And the cost factor is $250 million versus $40 million. And not only that, it's going to impact about 40,000 to 50,000 children that use it every single day. And people, Julie and others, try to say, well, the white middle class up there, they don't want it in their backyard. But this impacts over 2,000 people that live in Isaac houses on 93rd Street and 1st Avenue right there, mainly all black and Latino. She gives a fear factor that if it's not being built there, it's going to be built in Spanish Harlem, Washington Heights, and Inwood.
Right.
She and I know that that is absolutely not true and totally unacceptable to anyone that has any knowledge base.
30 seconds left. Do you want to mention any prominent endorsements to help put yourself in context for the listeners?
Sure. I've been endorsed by many, many unions, UFT, CSA, the Transport Workers Union, the Sandhogs, IATSE, the Stage Handlers, CWA, Local 1180, 1182, many, many unions, but also David Dinkins, Bill Perkins, Charles Rangel, and many, all of the elected officials in Northern Manhattan, except for one or two. Clearly, I have a broad-based support, and I'm building from the bottom up, and I'm going to walk the entire borough, and with God's willings, I will be the next borough president.
City Councilman Robert Jackson, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're speed dating the Manhattan Borough President candidates, 7 minutes each with all four of them. Up next, City Council Member Jessica Lappin from the East Side and Roosevelt Island. Councilwoman, welcome to WNYC.
Morning.
So I'm going to ask you the same first question I asked Robert Jackson. Manhattan isn't just anywhere. It's the cultural and financial capital of the United States in so many ways, at the same time as being just home for 1.5 million people or so. What does Manhattan mean to you?
Well, it is my home. I've lived here my whole life. It has always been my home. I grew up not far from Union Square. I was raised by a single mom. I went to Stuyvesant High School, and now I'm a public school parent myself. And it is a world-class city. If we were to be a city on our own, we would be the sixth largest city in America. So having somebody who is the borough president is an advocate and a guardian for us is very important. And we need someone who's going to fight to make this a more affordable place for middle-class and working families. And as I said, I've lived here my whole life. I've seen it change in many ways. And I love that I can take the subway at 2 in the morning and feel safe. But I see my peers who are trying to raise families here being squeezed. I look at people like my mother, who's lived here for over 50 years, being squeezed. And the borough president has the power to do something about that. The real meat of the job is having a say in the land use process and what gets built and where, which is incredibly important, as the East Midtown rezoning just reminded us all. And I was a land use chair in the city council for 4 years, and I was in charge of protecting landmarks and historic neighborhoods in our city. I personally oversaw the approval of over 20,000 school seats across the city, and I tackled some tough waterfront development issues as well, and that unique experience has really prepared me to take on this role.
So I think you heard Robert Jackson's answer to the development question, where he singled out the Midtown East rezoning as something that is not ready for approval, in his opinion. Infrastructure needs to come along before more office towers are built there. Is that your position, too?
Absolutely. We are far too often reacting. We need to be proactive. Let's solve problems before the development happens and creates them. And East Midtown rezoning is a perfect example. Before we add 3.8 million square feet of office space, let's figure out how we're going to move people in and out of the area, because you can't create 15,000 new jobs if people can't get to them. So we need to decide what can really be done to add subway and bus service to that Grand Central area. Who's going to pay for it? In what order should the projects be done? What if we don't have enough money to really make those improvements? What happens then? And I would also say there are landmarks in that neighborhood that need to be protected. We need to add meaningful open space as well to make it a livable, vibrant area.
What do you see as Manhattan's biggest problem today?
The cost of housing. I mean, no matter what neighborhood I'm in, that's what I'm hearing. That people are paying, you know, 50% of their income for housing. And the communities and the individuals who have built this borough into what it is, you know, this is an amazing place to live and to work. They're feeling squeezed out and are worried that they're going to be able to stay. And that, to me, is a real problem, and one that I would seek to address as borough president.
The office doesn't have a whole lot of power, but there certainly have been prominent Democrats who've done the job. David Dinkins, Ruth Messenger, Percy Sutton, Andrew Stein, Virginia Field, Scott Stringer, and Robert Wagner, to name a few. Is there any one of those who's especially a model for you in terms of what they accomplished or how?
I think Scott Stringer has done an excellent job and proven just how much power there is in this office to really shape the borough concretely. And I look at what he did with the West Harlem rezoning to protect the character of the neighborhood over there. I think about the community board reforms that he's put in place. I have a proposal on my website to build on that, really focusing on technology to bring the boards into the 21st century. In fact, I have 7 policy proposals on my website, jessicalappin.com, that lay out my vision for the office that I hope people will peruse in a non-speed dating fashion when they have some time to take a look. But there is clear power there, not the least of which is the bully pulpit. You have the ability to take on progressive issues and causes, as I have in the city council, passing a law to protect a woman's right to choose, championing the DREAM Act, fighting to raise the minimum wage and to organize car wash workers and fast food workers. So the borough president can also be a very strong voice to push for progressive causes here in this borough.
Have you endorsed in the mayoral race?
I have not.
And you won't, because you're running for Manhattan Borough President?
You know, I am running a very focused race to be the next Manhattan Borough President. It's a race that I hope demonstrates my energy, my ideas, my vision for the office, and my record, which I'm incredibly proud of. I have built a record in the city council over 8 years that I am proud of. I'm chair of the senior committee now, the Committee on Aging, and when there was a threat to close over 100 senior centers down, I fought back to keep them open, put money back into the budget for Meals on Wheels and home care. We've opened 5 new schools on the east side, public schools, since I've come into office. And we've also opened 3 brand new waterfront parks, including the FDR Memorial on Roosevelt Island, which is just spectacular and something I am incredibly proud of.
And
I think People will come from all over the world and are. They've already had 100,000 visitors in less than a year. So.
And most people probably think that Roosevelt Island is part of Queens, but it's actually part of Manhattan.
It is part of Manhattan.
30
part
seconds,
of my district.
30 seconds left. Any endorsements that you would mention of you to put yourself in context a little more?
I've been endorsed by Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, by State Senators Liz Krueger, Tom Duane, Jose Serrano, by local 32BJ and RWDSU for my work with them around the Living Wage campaign, and so many others. What I hope distinguishes me and has come through this morning is both my clear record of getting results for people in Manhattan and my vision for the office to help build new permanent affordable housing, to give parents a greater voice in the school system, and to create jobs, which I helped do by championing the Cornell Tech Project, which is on Roosevelt Island, which will create 30,000 jobs in this city.
City Councilwoman Jessica Lappin, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC will keep speed dating the Manhattan Borough President candidates. Two more to go right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue to speed date the Manhattan Borough President candidates. 7 minutes each with all four of them. Up next, former Community Board 1 Chair Julie Menon from Lower Manhattan. Ms. Menon, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much, Brian. Great to be with you.
What does Manhattan mean to you?
Well, to me, it's a place where I'm raising my three children. I've spent a tremendous amount of time in Manhattan. I went to school here in New York at Columbia. Manhattan is a wonderful place, but what is happening now is people are being priced out of the borough. This is one of the main reasons I'm running for borough president, because I have real policy differences with my three opponents, council members who have, quite frankly, approved every development ever put forward before the city council. So when we talk about the crisis we have in affordable housing, it's in large part caused because of the amount of luxury development that is being built in Manhattan and the fact that there simply are no mandated requirements to build affordable housing on every development project, which is what I am calling for.
When I asked Robert Jackson to name any issue disagreement he has with another candidate, he said the three who are on city council all disagree with you about the Upper East Side waste transfer station, 91st Street and the East River, that you support it, they all oppose it. Do you hold that position?
I do, Brian, and that is what leadership is about. It's about taking on the tough positions that sometimes are controversial. I do support the solid waste management plan, and that is why I've been endorsed by the League of Conservation Voters. We have to have borough equity, and the fact is that 75% of these facilities have traditionally been housed in lower-income neighborhoods, and I don't think that's equitable, and I don't think that's fair. The asthma rates in East Harlem are 5 times the national average. If we don't move forward on the solid waste management plan, we will add 6 million truck miles a year to the city, and those trucks are going to go through communities mainly north of 96th Street, which is why so many of the elected officials north of 96th Street have endorsed my campaign.
He said that it's mistaken to say that low-income kids wouldn't be affected by this because of where it's located. He mentioned particular housing project and said wrong to say it's going to wind up in Washington Heights or Inwood if it's moved from 91st Street.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the lawsuit that some of the community groups have brought specifically mentions the fact that they want to move it to the Bronx. 75% of these facilities, as I said, have been housed in lower-income neighborhoods. In the absence of an alternative, to simply just oppose, I don't think is productive. I am known as someone who always tries to offer a solution. That's what I did in the 7 years I chaired Community Board 1 on issue after issue after issue, whether it was standing up for the Islamic Cultural Center and Mosque or winning a $200 million victory against Con Ed or standing up to protect the First Amendment right of Occupy Wall Street protesters. So with the Marine Transfer Station, the problem is that there is no alternative that is being offered. And it's not enough to just oppose. We have to really offer alternatives. The long-term solution to make the 91st Street Transfer Station obsolete is to increase our recyclability rate. We have a woeful recyclability rate in New York of 15% compared to national average of 34%. And when you contrast that to cities like San Francisco, Brian, that are recycling 80%, we can do so much better in New York. And that is what I want to lead the way as the next Manhattan Borough President.
What do you see as Manhattan's biggest problem today?
The biggest problem is honestly affordable housing. And as I mentioned earlier, this is a strong policy disagreement I have with my opponents. They have voted for all of this development, including building luxury high-rise on St. Vincent's Hospital site, including voting for the NYU expansion or the Chelsea Market expansion. So we disagree strongly on those projects. We have to have mandated set-asides for affordable housing. I have put forward the idea of a comprehensive master plan for the borough of Manhattan. We in New York are one of the few major American cities, Brian, that actually has no master plan, so that constantly luxury development is being approved without making sure that we're building enough affordable housing or, for that matter, building enough school seats. This is why we have 36 kids in a class in so many public schools throughout the borough of Manhattan. So I would, as the next Manhattan borough president, do mandated set-asides for affordable housing, for school seats, really reform our land use process to make sure that we're doing community-based planning.
How did being a community board one chair after 9/11 in that area affect your outlook on public policy?
Well, we've had to take on so many of the tough fights in Lower Manhattan, whether it was standing up for the Islamic Cultural Center and Mosque, and Community Board 1 led the way in that in terms of standing up for that project, or whether it was dealing with the rebuilding of Lower Manhattan under the most arduous and challenging times, or winning a $200 million victory against Con Edison. I've had to deal with issue after issue. And I think, honestly, chairing a community board for 7 years is exactly the kind of experience you need as the next Manhattan Borough President. The two primary and fundamental roles of the borough presidents are land use and community boards. And as someone who has chaired Board 1 for 7 years, I really believe in community board empowerment and making sure the community boards have all the tools and resources they need, because they are the eyes and ears of the community.
Do you want to mention any prominent endorsements before you go to help put yourself in context for the listeners, as the other candidates have?
Yes, we have received the lion's share of the endorsements in this race, including endorsements from Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez, from the elected officials in Northern Manhattan, Adriana Espaillat and Eudonis Rodriguez, and Gabriela Rosa, the elected officials in East Harlem, like Melissa Mark Favorito and Robert Rodriguez, our former borough president, C. Virginia Fields, Amsterdam News, a leading African-American newspaper, endorsed our campaign, Assemblywoman Deborah Glick, and so many others, and as well as 15 Democratic clubs, three times more than any of our opponents. And I'm so proud of the broad-based coalition we support. It's really a victory for community-based planning.
Have you endorsed in the mayoral race?
No, I have not endorsed in the mayor's race. I am completely focused on the next 2 weeks and on this race for Manhattan Borough President, which I really think is an incredibly important role in city government because of the role with the community boards and the role in land use.
Julie Menon, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Brian.
We are speed dating the Manhattan Borough President candidates, 7 minutes each, with all four of them up next. And finally, City Council Member Gail Brewer from the Upper West Side. Ms. Brewer, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian.
You were in the news recently for sponsoring the paid sick leave bill. That was a central issue earlier in the mayoral race, de Blasio especially pushing Speaker Quinn to let it come to a vote in council, which finally happened after some negotiated changes. Do you feel that's your biggest accomplishment as a council member?
I do. 1 million New Yorkers will have 5 days off starting April of next year if they do not have paid sick days currently, mostly low-wage workers. And I feel like it's actually the most progressive legislation ever passed by the New York City Council. And I'm very proud, not just of me, but of the amazing coalition that we put together to pass the legislation.
What else have you done that people should be aware of?
Well, we've done the local sourcing food bill, and that bill states that the city of New York has to purchase locally, upstate or in the city, food. We're number two to the Department of Defense in terms of purchasing food, schools, hospitals, jails, daycare centers. And just recently, I learned that the Elmhurst Dairy, which is the last dairy left in New York City, just got the contract for milk to sell milk to the jails, and as a result, the dairy owner called me and met with me and gave me a big hug. I didn't know what it was for, And he said, Gail, we just got the milk contract for the jails, and we saved 200 jobs in Queens just because of you. So I'm really proud of that.
What does Manhattan mean to you?
Manhattan means neighborhoods. It also means tourism and finance and housing, where we need more affordable housing. But it means that in the neighborhood, we know each other, we socialize with each other, we share each other's dreams in terms of our children, we go to the local schools, we love our local mom and pops, and I've tried on the Upper West Side to save our mom and pops with a zoning proposal that passed, signed by the mayor, that says that we're not going to have any new banks unless they're 25 feet or less along a streetscape. And it means that we know the local drugstore, the local shoemaker. At the same time, we're a world-class city. So the question is, how do you balance? How do you do smart development that balances both? We're the cultural capital, going down to listen to the Metropolitan Opera free outside, like I did the other night to hear La Traviata. There's nothing better. Or going to hear jazz, which is my favorite form of music, in a neighborhood with the Jazzmobile in Central Park, like I did the other night. That's what neighborhoods are, and that's what our city's about. At the same time, the tourism, the investment from around the world, the excitement of the street, to me, that's what Manhattan is. And the question for the borough president is, how do you balance that? And I think because I've been working, teaching, community board, different jobs, I can do that because I've got 40 years of experience trying to balance all these different wonderful opportunities that exist in Manhattan.
Do you have issue differences with any of the other candidates that you would cite?
Well, certainly I know others have talked about the Manhattan transfer station. I voted against it in the city council, and I certainly signed the pledge recently to make sure that that station does not exist.
We've gone over that
pretty well. All
right,
but the second issue is term limits. I voted against the mayor and the speaker regarding term limits. I think that that issue should have gone to the voters, and I would have been impacted adversely because I was the only person running in this group that voted that way that would have been adversely impacted because I wouldn't have gotten a third term. But I thought it was the right thing to do, go to the voters. Those are two issues where I have some differences, and I think it's not a difference per se, but I also have strong beliefs in terms of tremendous accessibility. My office is open 7 days a week in the community. We're a storefront office, and I am extremely accessible, which isn't a difference, but it's something that I focus on.
What do you think is Manhattan's biggest problem today?
Every single New Yorker will tell you affordable housing and jobs. We need to have, again, we've talked extensively about the affordable housing. We need inclusionary zoning. We need to look at preserving what we have. We've lost, just in my neighborhood on the West Side, 10,000 rent-regulated apartments in the last decade. We have to preserve what we have. We have to build new. And then people are working two jobs in order to pay the rent. So we have to figure out making sure that, like I indicated earlier, preserving every single job we have. At the same time, the new ones need to have more of a living wage.
Do you have positions on what kind of development Manhattan should encourage Borough President gets to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I mean, certainly on this land use issue, I know that you've covered this. The 421A tax abatement process is very challenging. You know, there was a discussion recently about the developers on 57th Street and elsewhere that had been brought before the Moreland Commission. Because of some of the challenges as to where the money came from and is going. But more importantly, these buildings are built ostensibly with an affordable housing component. I'm pretty good at, you know, doing research. Nobody can figure out where the housing is going. It's not on site in a couple of buildings. So the answer to your question specifically is we have to ensure that there's affordable housing for low-income and middle-income families. It's going to take state action as well as local action. And that is how we have to go about it, looking at the tax abatements that exist, changing those that need to be changed, and if they exist, they have to be real for what you get in return. We need smart development. We need the schools. We need the open space. We need the affordable housing. It has to be a package. And the borough president can play a large role. I've done it as a council member, building affordable housing and schools and open space at Riverside Center, for example, also at Fordham University. But this smart development is incredibly important, and it takes putting all the right stakeholders in the room, which is what I've been doing for 40 years.
Have you also not endorsed in the mayoral race?
I have not endorsed in the mayoral race, and I will not endorse in the mayoral race.
And do you want to close by mentioning prominent endorsements of you to help put yourself in context?
Thank you very much, Brian. Yes, I'm very honored to be endorsed by the New York Times, District Council 37, the UAW, including the legal service workers, the National Organization of Women, Citizens Union, Tenants PAC, the Sierra Club, the Streets PAC, which are people who care about transportation, the 504 Democratic Club, which works with disabled voters, National Women's Political Caucus, Assembly members Richard Gottfried and Brian Kavanaugh, and my predecessors Ruth Messinger, Ronnie Eldridge, Gloria Steinem, without whom we would not have paid sick days, Liz Abza, Terry Williams, who's a prominent author, and certainly former Congresswoman, District Attorney, and Controller Elizabeth Holtzman.
We thank City Council Member Gail Brewer. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And now we've heard from all four candidates for Manhattan Borough President in the Democratic primary, which is the election since there's no Republican candidate this year. We heard from City Councilman Robert Jackson, City Councilwoman Jessica Lappin, former Community Board 1 Chair Julie Menon, and Gail Brewer there as we continue to cover primary season in New York City here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Also, with the Republican candidates for mayor meeting tonight for a debate, you can hear that on WNYC. Tune in for the debate, followed by brief analysis of the Republican candidates debating in their primary race. That's 8 o'clock tonight on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. Primary season being well covered all over WNYC. And you can hear our interviews with all of the mayoral candidates and so many of the other candidates on our website. Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We have John Liu tomorrow, by the way, who's going to take your calls in our mayoral hopeful call-in round. And coming up next, the war drums on Syria draw a cyber attack, apparently by supporters of Assad, against the New York Times website. We'll talk to a Times staffer about it. Stay with us.